We've been looking at the letter from Pastor James to the church at Jerusalem and the church worldwide. We come this morning to James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. I'd like to share with you about a faith that makes an impact. Please stand together with me out of reverence to God's word. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is this? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds." You believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness, and he has called him God's friend." You see, a person is also considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. If you look on your bulletin, you'll see there's included in there the mission of our church. The mission of Somerville Church of the Nazarene is to come to know Christ personally, to make him known to others by our actions, witness, and example. In this book of James, a pastoral letter about actions and attitudes, he really is speaking about what is the mission of our church, that we would come to know Christ and make him known to others. But it's going to involve our actions, our witness, and our example. And as we do that, are we the feet and hands of Jesus? Are we the mouthpiece of Jesus? You don't just need to be the mouthpiece of Jesus. You need to be the mouthpiece as well as hands and feet of Jesus. You also need to be not only just hands and feet of Jesus, you need to have a witness that's shared out in your heart. There's a story of a little crippled boy that was trying to catch a train. He was on crutches, and under his crutches he had a package or two that he was trying to carry with him as he was trying to board the train. Suddenly, this man who was in a hurry bumped him, and he knocked the boy, and the parcels went in all directions. That man that was in a hurry, he paused, and he turned around, and instead of helping the boy, he scolded the boy. "Get out of my way. What are you doing here?" Another man, a gentleman, saw what took place in the youngster's distress. He went over, and he quickly helped to gather up the scattered gifts, and he slipped a dollar out of his pocket into the hand of the boy and says, "I'm sorry. I hope this makes up for your trouble." The child looked up into his eyes and said, "Mister, thank you. Are you Jesus?" "No, but I'm one of his followers." If your faith was put to test, like the story of that little boy with his encounter of two men, who would you be in the story? How would you respond to the little boy and his need? As we look at the story, you might say, well, the first guy, he was in a hurry. He had to catch the train, and he was busy and wasn't thinking, and time was of the essence. Maybe you might think that the little boy was too preoccupied and not aware of his surroundings and not being considerate of others, and maybe got his crutch out in the way. And to look at it that way, is those might seem like valid reasons are merely excuses. But the guy who saw the situation unfold in front of him says there's a need there that needs to be met. I can take the time to stop and help. Our world needs people that will stop and help. We're all too busy getting from point A to point B. We're all too consumed maybe about what our problems and challenges might be. That's human nature. But God calls Christians to a higher standard than that. He calls us to be not only His mouthpiece, but His hands and His feet. To be those who will help others. And this great leader of the early church felt an enormous responsibility for spiritual growth to get across the point to his people. It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to do it. We may say that we have righteousness, but we need to show that we have righteousness. You see, faith is really a profession and a practice. One thing that James could not stand was profession without practice. There's a commercial on TV right now that just aggravates me to death, and it illustrates this point just exactly. The person sitting in the dentist chair. You've seen it. And this person who's in the dentist's office, Sherry, it's not y'all's office. It's somebody else's office. This guy looks like a dentist, and he looks in his mouth, and Blankenship translation, my, you have a mighty bad cavity. And turn around and they look at the person that's in there, you know, they got the things pulling his mouth apart, you know, so they keep his mouth open. Well, aren't you going to fix it? Oh, no. I'm not a dentist. I'm a dental inspector. I'm a dental problem analyst. Who needs a dental problem analyst? If you're in the chair to see the dentist, I need the dentist. Don't only just tell me what the problem is, fix the problem. But there's a lot of people who want to be advisors rather than part of the solution. Notice what he says in verse 14, if someone has faith, but if someone says that he has faith. That preposition, if someone says he has faith, what a tremendous difference. Do our actions and our attitudes match up? Do people understand that what we say and how we treat them, how we reach out to others in Jesus' name, do they notice that it matches? Or do they notice a contrast? That we say one thing and do another? Or that we just point out problems and expect someone else to be the solution? You see, the world that we live in the church that we're a part of and the families around us, they don't need more folks that'll just notice needs and problems and point them out. They need folks that'll roll up their sleeves and help fix it. They need folks who'll pick up the packages of broken, stumbled lives, put it back together, and be Jesus. What is a prophet a man? Says the answer is nothing. It really doesn't profit us if we say one thing and do another. It really doesn't profit us if we don't show faith as well as works, that there would be a balance there in them. It'd be easy for us to read this passage this morning and conclude that we can work our way into heaven or we can work our way into holiness. We can't earn heaven, can we? There's nothing that you or I can do that possibly could buy our way into the redemption, loving arms of Christ. There's no good deed, there are no multitude or stack of deeds that you could do that you could come with this great big encyclopedia checklist of all the good things that you've done. And it would be like filthy rags. It would amount to nothing. It's by grace have you been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. As he's writing to the church at Galatia there, you might think that this passage in James is talking in contrary to that, but no, it's extending it beyond. Once we've received the grace, we need to extend the grace. As we extend the grace to others, faith and works is not an either-or situation, it's both and. In verses 18 and 19 of our passage this morning, but some will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there's one God, good. Even the demons say that and they shudder. Faith and works. Working hand in hand together, not against one another. Maybe you heard the illustration of pulling on both oars. There was an old Scotsman who was operating a rowboat, and he was transporting passengers. And one day a passenger noticed that the good old man had carved on both oars. On one oar was carved the word faith, and on the other oar was carved the word works. The passenger said, "What is the meaning of these oars?" The old man, being a well-balanced Christian and glad for the opportunity to testify, said, "I'll show you." He dropped one oar and he piled the other one that was called works, and he went around and used it full force as hard as he could, and the little ship just went in a circle. He stopped that for a while and he picked up the other one on the other side with the other hand that was called faith, and he just oared it, and the ship went in a mighty big circle there again going that way. Then the guy, when the boat had stopped, picked up both oars and put them in their holding position, and he rolled them together in balance, and suddenly the little ship took off and was going straight ahead as the balance of faith and works was working, as both oars was working. You see, in our life it's like that. Both oars need to work, faith as well as works. It's that way. Dead works without faith is useless, and faith without works is dead also. We really don't get anywhere. We might have a lot of motion, and we're going in circles. And people notice a lot of activity, but they don't see a lot getting done. Kevin had mentioned songwriters. An earlier songwriter that's passed away, Rich Mullins, said, "Faith without works is about as useless as the screen door on a submarine. Doesn't make any difference if you open the door or not. You're still in trouble." But getting back to people that like to be inspectors. In Peanuts cartoon one time, Charlie Brown and Linus were inside all bundled up on a cold day, and they saw Snoopy outside in front of his doghouse, and there was this empty dish. Charlie and Linus were having a discussion on how sad it was that Snoopy was hungry and cold. And they said, "He's cold, he's hungry. We ought to do something about it." So they walked outside to Snoopy and said, "Be of good cheer, Snoopy." They turned around and walked away. And Snoopy just kind of looked at him like something was missing. Kind of like the dental problem analyst. There's a problem. Don't just notice it. Roll up your sleeves and help fix it. For genuine faith in our world to be lived out, it's lived out through the good works of those who followed Christ. If our faith does not lead to practical holiness, lived out in practical ways that we become an extension of the arms and hands of Jesus, then the world around us really doubts what a difference Christ would make at all. You see, faith is not too much if we just talk about it. We really need to show it. Amen. We really need to see it. Amen. As we see others minister to one another and others minister to us, then we start to believe. This thing called Christianity, this thing called faith, this thing called living out faith really works. You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. And when faith and action work together for real, there's life-changing power that takes place and is unfolded. The great missionary Hudson Taylor was on his way to his missionary assignment in China. He was on a sailing vessel going for his very first time to go into that country. As they were going throughout the Pacific on the way towards China, they came close to some cannibalistic islands. The ship was caught in the calm. There was no wind. It started to drift towards the shore of that island, and the spotter from the crow's nest of the ship saw savages gathered on the beach, and he could see that they were eager, and they were jumping up and down and starting to build a fire. Supper's on the way. Supper's on the way. The captain went to Mr. Taylor, knowing that he was a godly man, and he sought him to pray for the help of God. And he says, "I will pray," said Missionary Taylor, "provided you set your sails to catch the breeze." The captain declined to make himself a laughingstock, and he said that if he unfurled the sails and there was no breeze, it would make him look like an idiot in the dead calm of a storm. Taylor said, "I'll not undertake praying until you unfurl the sails." The captain relented, gave the order, and it was done. The sails were unfurled. Hudson Taylor started to pray, and soon a breeze picked up, caught the sails, took the ship away from what would have been certain death to the safety of the open waters towards where they wanted to go. Faith and action work together. The captain asked him, "Are you still praying for the wind?" "Yes." "Well, you better stop praying, for we have more wind than we can manage." Keep praying, folks, but keep working. Keep being an extension of God's hands and feet and God's life and love as people not only hear us talk about Jesus, hear us talk about what he's done for us, as we heard in the beautiful testimonies this morning, but live a life that is a testimony where they see that Jesus cares, and I know Jesus cares through that one and that one and that one, and what I saw him do for someone else, and what I saw him do for me, and what he's done for others, he'll do for me as well. This great chapter of James closes with two great biblical examples of faith and action lived out. The first one is mentioned in James 20-26. It's about Abraham, who's a great example of faith. We know his story of Abraham. He offered Isaac on the altar. He was willing, not knowing what would happen, he was willing to do what God said to do as he gathered up the sticks, as he gathered up the stuff for the fire, as he took Isaac with him. And as he went and he built an altar on top of the mount, not knowing, he prayed for a long time for a son. All of his hopes and all of his prayers and all of his dreams were wrapped up in that little boy. But he knew that God was saying that, "I want you to make a sacrifice to me." He built the altar. He put the wood on it. He grabbed this little boy and laid him on the altar and bound them. He was ready to raise the knife to strike his little boy. And God saw that Abraham was willing to give up what he valued most in life because he loved the Lord more than what he valued most here on this earth. And you know, they saw and heard a ram. It was caught in a thicket. Got the ram and brought it to the altar. And that little boy that day saw a dad whose faith in God was such that it stood out through the test of time. We look back on it and we understand that God said to Abraham that he was a friend of God. Oh man, to be known as a friend of God. For God to think of you and I as friends, because he sees that our not only is our faith real, but our works is real and our belief in him is real. And we're willing to obey him even to the point of where we become most vulnerable. Just the fact that you're alive and breathing this morning and in church is a testimony to the tribute of the impact of Abraham's decision to follow God no matter what, because we're all sons and daughters of Abraham. Another is mentioned as Rahab, one who would consider probably the least likely. She was a prostitute in the city of Jericho. And you know the account, the children of Israel right outside Jericho, and it was the first fortified city that they were coming to after Joshua had led them across the second sea going towards the promised land. Two spies went into the city to see what kind of fortification they had and what they had planned out and how the defenses would be. And Rahab the prostitute hid them in her house. In fact, hid them on top of the roof of their houses. The men of the city were looking for these two spies because the men of the city were so scared of the children of Israel. Because they known and had heard the stories of how God had led them and how God had helped them and how God had helped them to defeat others and how Pharaoh and his Pharaoh's army was dead at the bottom of another river or at another sea. Rahab had the encounter with the spies and she asked them one thing, "Will you spare my household?" And basically, here again, Blankenship translation, "Yes, we'll spare your household because you were kind to us and spared us and you sent them off another way. But you need to have a red scarlet thread hanging out your window and all those who are inside your house will be spared because of the red scarlet thread hanging out the ribbon hanging out the window. If they're not inside the home, we're not held accountable for anyone in your family that perishes." Rahab gathered her family, and as Jericho fell, the only ones that did not get destroyed, the ones who lived to tell about it, the ones who stand out as a testimony of not only putting faith in action, but putting works in action, values, is Rahab. You see, I heard in testimonies this morning, "I'm not worthy." None of us are worthy. Probably nobody here has a story like Rahab's. No one here would have sins that would match hers. But God knew that, you know, I can work with a life that's willing to put their faith in me. I can work with a life. I can change a life. I can redeem a family and a household. I can rechange someone's future if they'll give me all of their past and all of their presence. And say, "Lord, I'm yours. Everything that I have been, everything that I have now, everything that I hope to be, I give to you. And I just ask you to take it and use it as you see fit." Whether you're one who's known as a friend of God or one who, through your faith, saved your whole family. The Bible's full of examples of folks like Abraham and Rahab, and some of those examples are in this very room. And by the way, I look over and I see next Sunday, Lee's getting baptized. Anna's getting baptized. Lee's little girl's getting baptized. God's still changing lives. God's still giving us a testimony of what He's doing. Our world needs to see faith in action. And needs this not only just to tell about Jesus, but to show up Jesus. Here's your homework assignment. This week, be Jesus to someone. And just watch the difference that might just take place in one life. And you know, I would think that as you're being Jesus this week, there'll be someone that'll be Jesus to someone in this room. We might be on the receiving end of that kind of a blessing or the giving end. But faith and works need to work together in balance for the ship to move ahead towards the safety of heaven's port. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Precious Lord, we see in our scripture this morning that if someone claims to have faith, but they don't show works, their faith really is useless. It's not really either or, it's both and. We need to see faith lived out and we need to hear it, but we need to watch works in action. And you've given us examples. For some of us, it's the examples that we heard of Abraham and Rahab. Others, it's the examples of moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas that's gone before us that showed us Jesus and told us about Jesus. And I just pray right now for the opportunities that are going to be God-ordained that you open up this week for those in the sound of my voice to not only tell someone about Jesus, but to be Jesus' arms and feet and hands and ears towards someone else. May folks see you in us, and may that make a difference in their lives. We ask this in your name, for your honor and for your glory. And God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you. Church tonight at 6, so we continue in prayer.